Well, now that the days of Pentecost are behind us, are we continuing forward in our spiritual life with God? As the days of Pentecost represent God's Holy Spirit being given to His chosen people to become one with Him. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we can read where it says that all were filled by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those devout men, understanding what God is saying, they heard it and understood it in their own language. In verses 42 through 47 of the same chapter, they continue, as it says, as they stayed steadfast in doctrine and breaking of bread and in prayers. As verse 44 says, and all believed, those who were called out, were together, had all things common. And as they continued, they sold their possessions of goods, and they parted them out to all men, as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brethren, where do we fit in today's church? Do we go through the holy days, then forget the teachings God has taught us until this time next year? Or do we move forward becoming a better person than we were this time last year? See, during Christ's day, the apostles wanted Christ to judge a debate they were having, or a matter that they were debating about themselves. In Mark 9, verses 34, we can read where the apostles wanted Christ to tell them who was the greatest of them. Brethren, where are we today in the church of God? Have we really learned anything from our ancestors in the way we walk with God? As it says in 1 John 2, verse 17, he who does the will of God abides forever. So, brethren, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So, the question I would ask is, are we obtaining the capacity of God's Holy Spirit? The greatest need in God's church is His Holy Spirit, because without it, we have nothing. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, in verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As the church of God, we do not call upon God enough. We want His blessings and we want His benefits that He desires so much to give to His children. Are we doing and willing to do all the things that God requires each one of us to do? We need to be a people of faith, not looking for the signs of man, but the inspiration of God to move us through His Holy Spirit. We, as a church of God, need God's Holy Spirit. And through His Holy Spirit is the one way that we can have enough faith to make it through our difficult times. So what is faith? A good definition is Hebrews 11, verse 1, where it says, faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So having faith in God gives us power or strength to endure trials in our life. Let's read some examples of men of God who had faith. If you'd turn with me to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we'll pick up in verse 5 and 6. It says, by faith Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that pleased God. As verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So how do we begin to please God? Well, Colossians 3:2, we are to set our minds on the things that are above and not on the things of this earth. To do that, we need to lay our treasures not on the earth where the moths and the thieves and the rust can get in there, but lay our treasures up in heaven where they'll be safe. where the elements of the world cannot destroy them. The praise of God is what we should always be seeking. We must set our mind on God. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ and the Father, not about issues of the world or the congregations of the church. There are always going to be issues because we are carnal, still wanting to put our own ideas in places they do not belong. As we edify the body, we are pleasing God, giving glory and honor to Him and Jesus Christ. But if we are causing turmoil in the body and among the brethren, where is the edification? Where is the edifying? Where is the building up? Well, there is none, only destruction and tearing down of the body. If you would turn with me to Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, whom being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death." So we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ in everything that we are doing or everything that we are seeking to do. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." As verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what is the love of God? We keep His commandments because His commandments are not burdensome. We also seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. Let's turn to Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thieves approaches nor moths destroy. As there, verse 34 says, for there where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So brethren, God is trying to tell us to choose His way. So can you imagine what God has in store for all of us in the kingdom if we follow Him? Let's turn now to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "In Him you also trust after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." See, God gives us a piece of His Holy Spirit at baptism as sort of a down payment. God gives it to us as a down payment to make us more like Him. We did not come to the place to where we just decided, okay, we're going to learn God today. God actually is the one that does the calling, and God is the one who changes our life. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. It is our driving force to be about the will of God. We're not to be just a do-nothing member. We are to do something. We should have fire burning in our stomachs, in our bodies, to be about God's business, the desire, being about His teaching, God's teaching, nurturing one another, strengthening the body. But there are sometimes people who get tired, who start to allow that fire to extinguish. And if we're not careful, we can quench the spirit or become immune to its existence. So let's make sure that we know the difference and continue to kindle the fire that God has given us. Turn with me to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God who works in you both the will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." See, we are to be lights of this world who is in darkness and do not know God's way. The Holy Spirit helps make us complete in everything that we do. God's will working through us and what He wants us to do that glorifies Him through Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, it is Jesus Christ who does live in us and through us. And the more that we surrender our life to Him, the more wisdom, the more understanding, the more Holy Spirit is poured out on the children of God. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. It says, "Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness, and the works of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, we do it in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ, who giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. We need to be alert of our surroundings. We need to be children of light, as it said, in a dark world, spreading good cheer and hope to all of those who are lost, those who maybe God has not called at this time, to be lights to those who may have known the truth, but has either slipped away or has gone some other way. We need to be the light to those people who have maybe given up, to be there for those who are in a state of confusion from daily stress in one's life. There is coming a better tomorrow for all of mankind. What are we willing to do to make it into God's kingdom? We need an unmeasured amount of God's Holy Spirit in our life so we may understand what it is God wants each one of us to do, that we may become overcomers of sin. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6, we'll read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6. You might want to put a marker there because we're going to come back to it several times during this message. But it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So we have kind of a command that God is giving us, that we are to watch, we are to be sober, and we can only get the patience to watch and the strength to be sober is through God's Holy Spirit. So let us watch, let us be sober. Let us watch for spiritual growth in one another in the church, giving credit to God and to uplift and strengthen the body of Jesus Christ. If you would turn with me now to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, picking up in verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you." See, God is faithful, through whom we were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. So let's continue reading a little bit more in Hebrews 10. If you go back to Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, picking up in verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaching. So we are to have the attitude of being servants to one another, esteeming others better than ourselves, showing love to one another in the body, not trying to divide, not trying to conquer the brethren, or beat them into a submission of carnal influence, but showing love, showing mercy, showing compassion to one another. If we turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll pick up in verse 7. It says, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whatever we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So we need to put on the breastplate of faith and the helmet of salvation. We need to stand and have ourselves girded with the truth, to have put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod at our feet that we may stand firm, with the preparations of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts that Satan and his demons have. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Holy Spirit helps make us to be kind, helps us to be considerate towards others, not thinking about ourselves. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and everyone who humbles himself shall be exalted. Let's turn to Matthew 23. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes, for you pay tenth on mint and anise and cumin, that you may neglect the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought have done without leaving the others undone. See, this is an example we don't want to be like, thinking that we're something that we're not. We want to do things the way God has instructed each one of us to do. We need to write God's laws on our heart, seeking righteous judgment, desiring mercy, and have faith to endure to the end. As James 2 verses 9 and 10 sum it all up pretty clear, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced in the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the law but yet offend one point, he is guilty of them all. So this is why it's so important for us to learn how to edify the body of Christ, building and working together with one another for that single goal of being born into the kingdom of God. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, picking up in verse 11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we argue you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that you render no evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. So another thing we need to do is encourage others to build each other's self-esteem, praying for one another that we may receive more of God's Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up in verse 3 and 4, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So how do we go about doing this? One way is we need to appreciate the leadership God has given us in the church, praying for one another. We all do not have the same function in the body, because if we did, wouldn't we all be together? That's one thing to think about. We follow the ones God has put in charge as they follow Jesus Christ. We are not to just blindly follow. As Matthew 15:14 says, if the blind follow the blind, they both end in the ditch. See, every intricate part of the body, if it is not working together for the greater love of God, then there is friction among us, and happiness cannot be found in the house of God. We are to make sure that we do not render evil for evil. We do not want to contribute evil to evil. Do not put your brother down. Do not destroy his character. Where would we be today if Christ said, I'm done with you. I've had enough. I don't need you. Well, putting it in the vernacular, we'd be in a lot worse shape than we are now. There would be no hope. But Jesus Christ has perfect love for us. And we can also have it by filling our minds with God's Holy Spirit. We ask God, God gives it, and then we live it. Let's turn now to Galatians 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. See, we are to flee from evil. We're to cling to what is good. We're to be kind, be considerate, affectionate towards one another with brotherly love, giving honor to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, blessing them that persecute you, rejoicing with them that rejoice, weeping with those who weep, becoming of the same mind towards one another, and not being wise to our own opinion. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we living this way of life now? Do others see a difference in you? If we are not living this way, then we have to ask the question, is God pleased with our actions? Let's turn now to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Picking up in verse 18, it says, Servants, be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us the example that we should follow in his steps. So we have our answer that if we're not living, or we question ourselves and how we live in the faith, are we following the examples that Jesus Christ is teaching us? See, Jesus Christ came to this earth as physical flesh and blood. He did not sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. So are we really thirsting for God's Holy Spirit? Are we thirsting for his Spirit in our life? Are we asking it more abundantly for us to live by? And do we ask it for all the called out members of the body, that they may also obtain more, so we can make ourselves ready? Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God and Christ also forgave you. See, this is something that we must continue to keep in our minds and in the words that we speak with one another. Being kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving each other. When our time of trouble comes, how do we react? A second point we need to learn is we must always have a positive attitude so we can rejoice before God. Where is the rejoicing if we are depressed? Where is the hope if we always have hopelessness? See, God's way of life through the Holy Spirit is when sorrow comes our way, others see us rejoicing, giving the credit to God in all things, because God commands us to rejoice before Him. Another point is to pray without ceasing, always communicating with God, giving thanks to God in everything, for this is God's will. Let's turn, if you would, to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. It says, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were leopards, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." See, we need to pray and to communicate with God continually for all the blessings that He gives us and to help give us the strength to be about His business. Another point is we do not want to quench the Spirit. As the term says, you use it or lose it. As 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. If we quench the Spirit, we end up back in darkness. For if any be the hearers of the word and not a doer, then he is unto like a man looking at himself in a mirror. For he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. So we don't want to quench the Spirit. Another point is to appreciate the fellowship and time spent with the brethren. As Psalms 133 verse 1 says, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Let's turn to Romans 10. In Romans 10, verse 14, we'll read 14 and 15, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom those who have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings to good things.'" See, God is faithful. He has given us His truth. He has called us out of this world. And He is teaching us His knowledge to become more like Him. And He's allowing us to fellowship with Him on the Sabbath. Another point is to prove the truth and to never give up. To prove the truth and never give up. Let's not take everything we hear at face value. We need to dig into the Scriptures to find the meaning and the true understanding. And if we have problems in our understanding, may we receive a multitude of counsel. Let us study to show ourselves approved to God, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So let's prove all things, hold fast to what is good, and may we never get lost in our own wisdom, thinking we know everything about God. Let's turn now to Galatians 6. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and when he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So let's prove the truth of God. Let's latch on to it, and let's never let go. The last point I have is flee from every form of evil. Remove yourself from all forms of sin. We need to live the entire way of life. God desires each person to live. His way, his laws, mankind one day going to be living together in unity. But we need, as we live our physical life, we need to remove ourselves from the activities of the world and to fully focus on the direction God is calling each one of us to go. Having God's Holy Spirit gives us faith in God, and through faith is hope, and through hope is strength. And then the list through God's Holy Spirit continues to grow. In Hebrews 11, let me turn there real quick. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." See, Moses understood what he had to do to serve God completely. Does it mean that we're always going to do the right things? No, it doesn't. It's about what we have or what we do with the knowledge that we have in whatever particular situation we find ourselves in. Are we going to do good and take the suffering if we need to? Or are we going to run away and accept the bad and be praised by the world? There is a time coming when we will live in a world of confusion, where man will announce evil for good and good for evil. Are we taking the precautions to learn all we can about God now? Asking and continually asking for his Holy Spirit that it may be poured out on the church of God. In closing, brethren, if we would turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So, brethren, let us pray for one another, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of God's truth, asking him for the blessings on his people, that we may serve God with gladness of heart. Let us pray for God's Holy Spirit, that our minds may be filled to our capacity. Because without God's Spirit, we are dead. May the church grow with the potential first fruits God has in store for his great harvest.